Simmons Kuf Samach Zayin Sif Hey. Lo Yivsach Yivil Lufon of Melech Eliftan. That in order that the bread should, the honor of the bracha is that when you eat the first piece, it should taste good, which means you want to put some type of either salt
or spread, maybe,
or some type of enhancer on it. The Rashi was lifted in Pierce Rashi called over a nechalima pass, anything which would be normal to eat together with the bread. The lav is by process of seer, which you then accompany the first bite of the that you cut off as honor of the bracha. You're going to accompany that with something. So something of that sort.
Hold on a second. So you're saying that's not considered, like if I take a challah, I make the hamotzi on it, and then I cut the challah and I spread, let's say, baba ganoush on it, or you name it, Turkish salad.
Correct.
That's not considered a hefsek?
Because it's tzarech habracha, because it's covered with a bracha. Okay? So you want to make sure that you have it in front of you, ready to use, so you can put it on immediately afterwards. The same way you put salt on afterwards. Chamok and mitzvah now. Oh, I skipped. Now, v'imhi nekiya, mutavelas betavlin, abimelech, kein shalonu. Okay, but if the flour is fine flour, which we have nowadays, or it has other ingredients in it just besides flour and water, it has some type of spices in it, or it has even salt in it, the way we make our bread nowadays, so then it already has salt. He prefers eating bread as is without any other item. So then it's chareva, like dry. This is what he's planning to do. If he's planning to later on the meal add some salt to the bread, so what do you mean? The one you make a moitzi on, which that's the bracha on, you don't add salt. Later on you add salt, that's not right. But if you're planning to eat the whole meal without any salt, without any spreads, without any other spices, nothing, so that's how you want to eat your meal, so fine. So then you don't have to wait. Now, hagoam mikomokam mitzvah lahobi al kol shulchan melech kadim shiyim. So besides putting bread, putting salt on the bread, there's a mitzvah to have salt on the table. Even if you're not going to use the salt in the meal.
What is that?
Why is that?
Ki
ha-shulchan darmen le-mizbeach. We know that the table, the person's table is compared to the mizbeach. V'achila ke-korban, and then the process of achila is compared to korbanos. Whenever I call korban chot, takriv melach. The Torah says that together with the korbanos, there's salt. So even you don't want to put salt on your food, which you don't have to, but at least the salt should be on the table, and that set should be like the mizbeach. Mugim in a peronius, and having salt there acts as a protector from punishment from Shemayim for peronius. And then he says that means even though nowadays,
just having salt on the table is a protection from Shemayim.
Protector from peronius. Yeah.
What's peronius mean? From
punishment. Okay.
Why does salt protect from punishment on the table? What's the logic?
We'll get to the Mishnah Berurah. Okay. So the Mishnah Berurah of Katan Chafei. Lo Yivsas, a person should not start the process.
That's the
intention
of the
Batei,
right? If he doesn't want anything, he doesn't have to wait. If one of his guests wants something,
he's... No, he doesn't have to. If he's not planning to add anything, so he doesn't have to wait. Right? Nowadays, it's come out, the first issue is not really relevant because our process Nakia. We use fine flour. We don't have coarse flour, and we have salt in the only place is really like even that, you know, is matzah. There's no salt in matzah, but it's also still fine flour. Even the whole wheat matzah is fine flour. When they said the coarse flour, they were talking about the bran was in it. Even the whole wheat matzah doesn't have the bran in it. We wouldn't do that for matzah purposes anyway. We would not allow the bran to be in it.
Why?
Because it changes the chimutz process, and we don't want to get involved in anything that changes the chimutz process.
Does it make it faster or slower?
When the Chazal defined the shear of chimutz, they're talking about flour without the bran. So once you add something else, we always question that maybe it'll affect something. So we don't put salt in our matzah either. There's no salt in matzah because you don't add anything to the.
It's just flour and water.
Just flour and water. Okay, chafei lo yipsa memelat tzarch lizor the haskel of baruch habracha. So you can't cut. It means you can't set the bring make the bracha yet either. If, again, our bread is not an issue, but the bread that they had, which is coarse bread, and there was no salt in the, you should not start eating until they bring the salt. Okay, Lefanov. They all should eat their first piece in their proper way. So it's not enough for him to wait for himself, but he has to wait for them as well. Melachal Lifton, Kadeshay Nachelis, Batam, Mishum Kabbalah Bracha, which we eat in a tasty way because of Kabbalah Bracha. Void. And since you're going to do that, we don't want to interrupt between the bracha and the eating to ask for the melech or the tavlin.
That wouldn't be allowed.
The also that's not permitted. So therefore, to arrange this the chachila to if b'di'avad you read the bracha already, then you can be meikel, but you're not supposed to do that. So therefore, it's not mutar l'chachila. It's only b'di'avad. You have no choice. You're allowed to interrupt. So to prevent that situation of occurring, you have to make sure you bring it beforehand. Means that you have to wait a little before you make the bracha till they bring it. So don't say, listen, you know, might as well get moving over here with the meal and make the bracha right now. Because we said before, you don't want to interrupt between the netila and the bracha. So what's better? To pause between the netila and the bracha or between the bracha and the eating? It's better to pause between the netila and the bracha than the bracha and the eating. So wait now, not later. Masha Kosim Nakiya, and we say that nowadays our pasuk is Nakiya, therefore it's not relevant. What it means, as opposed to the pasuk of Chitim, as opposed to using some of the persons eating oat bread, you know, and their oat bread I can't imagine was very. Okay. Fine. He has no intention during any time in the meal to use melech or tavlin on his bread. He has no chiyuv to wait to add it to the bracha as well. Okay. He has no intention to ask for melech or tavlin later on, so why should he wait? He doesn't have to wait. Even though he might use the melech b'tavlin on other items, he might want to bring it, so he wants to wait now that the table should be ready. So he, since that's instead of tzarech asura, it's mutter. Now, why do we have salt? Mitzvah to have salt on the table to pause
between the table.
And the teal and the bracha, tzarech asura. Now, why do we put salt on the table? Because devil means be'ach lamed. Kvashem chazal, the chazal say brachas. Bismancha b'simikdash kayyam, it means be'ach mechapra ala adam. When the mikdash was standing, so the be'ach would act as the kapora. Ach, shulchan shel adam is mechapra ala. So how is that? Why is your table mechapra for you? So, shenoysen milach moy ledal. He... on his table, he invites guests and he gives them to eat. So that acts as the act of kapora. So the table is your place of kapora to protect, to cleanse you from sin. So
it's really the guests that are protecting him. What does this have to do with the salt?
We're getting there. So the table is considered a mizbeach. The point is considered a mizbeach. And then when he eats on the table for the purpose of strengthening himself to be able to have the health that he needs to serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's like a korban. So therefore, you have to bring a korban chatakri of melech. Who megan? Now, what's this megan? It protects you from peronius. So, Zokti Mishabur, what peronius are we referring to? It's referring to the following. These are the medrash. Kishtel Yoshua Martin and Zazah, Ashik Yul Yudayim, Fahimbaloi Mitzvahs, Asatum Akadrigalay. So you have this whole table of people sitting there. Each one's taking their turn to wash. And they're sitting there waiting and waiting and waiting until everybody washes. They're not doing any mitzvahs at that point in time. They're not learning. They're not davening. They're just sitting and waiting. So, We could argue in that situation that the Medrash says the Sotah will come along and say, look, the Jews are not doing anything. That the Russians, but I promised Klai Yisrael would have a Kiyum. Where did I promise them? It says one of the promises, place of the promise is there was a bris the Russian made over the salt with the Karbonis. So the Russian says, there's salt on the table, there's the bris melech that I made with Klai Yisrael with the Karbonis. So that acts as the protection from the Peronius of Klai Yisrael sitting there. So I always point out to people, so the time where you need this protection of your salt is between the Netilah and the Moitzi. So don't bring the salt shaker to the table after everybody finishes washing. Right? You want the table, the salt on the table while everybody's washing. So you have to make sure you bring the salt shaker to the table before, you know, earlier on, you know, if you forgot it earlier when you set the table, you should put it on the table. It's not there when you set the table, but before everybody starts washing, you want to bring the salt to the table. Okay? Lama Gimel. Vayin Sof Simakuf Ayin Pirish Avogav the Mavur Shom Delidan the Pashalonu Hu Bemelech. Our bread has salt in it. Einon Noigim Achilas Melech Acher Asuda. Kamot Mitzel Nicha Ala Shulchan. They used to actually, the Mor says that for health reasons, it's important to have a little bit of salt after you finish your meal. So you point out, so then you want salt on the table to be able to, people should have it as part of the items that they're going to eat. Well, but nowadays we have salt on the bread. We don't need to do that. Still, you should have it on the table. Okay. Now, Zakti Mishabura, Makasim and Kabbalah, but Api Kabbalah, Lito Prisa Moitzi Bemelach Shalosh Pomim. So, even nowadays, when we have salt on the bread, or our pastas in the Kia, based on Kabbalah, it's still proper to dip the first. Prusa, the first bite, the piece that you have from the after the moitzi, you should dip it into salt three times. Now, it should be specifically three times, one, two, three, and it should be dipping, specifically dipping as opposed to pouring salt on it.
Why?
Because that's what the Kabbalah says. I don't reveal all my secrets.
Huh?
I don't reveal all my secrets. Okay. So nowadays, if a person is being noyig to use salt, even though the pasta is in the kia and it has salt in it, it's because it's based on this Kabbalah concept. And really, a person should be aware of that. He should dip three. You know, you can put salt down on. You don't simply dip into the salt dish. You can pour some salt onto the challah tray, but you should dip three times into the salt.
I've seen some people have little not a salt shaker, but like a salt dish,
right?
And they dip into that. Is that preferable?
It
makes no difference. You know, if you
make no difference,
you pour some salt on the cutting board that you cut the challah on, and it's fine to dip it into that three times.
Correct. Okay.
And why three times?
Because Kabbalah says three times. Okay. Sif Vav. So Sif Vav deals with the issues of when the person interrupts between the hamotzi and the eating. So normally that's going to send you back to have to make a bracha. The person makes a bracha, and before he starts eating, interrupts with speech. That will act as an interruption between the bracha and the eating, and you have to make a new bracha. We might see some cases are exceptional, and then you might see that some of the cases are quite controversial. Okay, Sivov. Yechum Yad. We want, first of all, there shouldn't be any time lapse. The person should try and eat as quick, even if the person not speaking, but preferably a person, there should be very minimal time lapse between the bracha of a moitzi and the eating. Furthermore, you see it when bracha l'achila, and you cannot speak between the bracha and eating. Mim soch, sarach l'achil l'vorach. If a person did speak, if a person just paused without speaking, even though he should not do that, he does not make a new bracha. But if a person spoke before he actually ate anything, so then he has to make a new bracha. Unless it was the word said were relevant to the process of what we're doing right now. They're necessary in the process. Good going. Shabir Chalapas. Person made a bracha on the bread. He asked them to bring
melech lift. Now again, we point out before you shouldn't do this, but if you did do it, it's not considered a hefsek. Okay. And Mishibur points out, even though our bread nowadays is nakia and it has salt in it, but if you want, so you don't have to have salt to lift in this situation. But even so, if you prefer it like that, that's also considered part of what the what's necessary for your suda. Or tnu l'ploni lechol, make sure give so and so a piece also. Tnu Michael the behemo. Now you're not allowed to eat until you feed your animals. So you realize you haven't fed your animals. So if you give over the responsibility to somebody else, and you ask them to go take care of feeding the animals, then you can continue your meal. But meanwhile, as is, if you have not done that, you may not proceed with your meal. So therefore, it's considered a tzarech of the suda to mention go feed the animals. If any of these type of interruptions, he does not need to make a new bracha. Again, he should not interrupt with these things. He should take care of it beforehand, etc. He should not interrupt with these things. But if he did, it's not a hefsek. The Ramah points out, but this should not be done. These interruptions are not. Somebody told me that he knows his father, like, you know, Badafka waits and asks for the salt after Ramoichi to show that Allah is allowed to say that. So the Ramah says that's very nice, but that's wrong. You shouldn't be doing that, you know. Okay? Now, behold the aim soch, the word betalin, sarach lachs, or the word. Okay, so there was interruption. We have five people sitting here. One person saying Hamoitzi and being Moitzi, everybody in the bracha. Now, the person who said Hamoitzi ate, passes out the slices of bread to everybody else there. And one of the people who's there has not eaten yet, speaks. What's in the law in that case? That law that the person who spoke has to go repeat the bracha. That the speech took place before the Boitseya, the one who said the Moitzi, has eaten. But if the one who said the Moitzi ate, even though the one who spoke did not eat yet, but since the bracha that the one who said the Moitzi said the bracha, the bracha took effect already, so it's equivalent. Let me ask you. You know, we never think about the question. You know, but the poskim do. Why are you allowed to talk during the meal?
Why are you allowed to talk?
Why are you allowed to talk during the meal?
Why shouldn't you be allowed?
You say a bracha. The bracha shouldn't have interruption. The bracha in the eating, right? Well, why is it only the first bite?
Huh?
Why isn't it considered that the bracha has to be in all of your eatings? So I'll give you an example where it applies. Mishabur and Hechos Pesach says we're knowing the following. Right, we make the bracha of alachilas matzah. Since the bracha of alachilas matzah is going both on the first eating of the matzah and also on the kerech, you're not supposed to speak between the chilas matzah and the kerech. Now comes along the shlo, and the shlo says, one second, according to Rashi and the Rashbam, the matzah that you're yotzi your achilas matzah with is the afi karmen. So you're not allowed to talk the whole meal till you eat after the afi karmen, because the bracha, there shouldn't be any interruption to the bracha and the eating.
Not even sipur yitzias, right?
Nothing. According to the Shulah. So Mishabur says, we're not knowing like that because that's something which most people aren't able to do. I mean, you ate what matzah one time, matzah second time, matzah, the third time already. No. So why are you allowed to eat during the meal? So the answer is, because once the bracha has taken effect, and now your b'emsa suda is considered, the halacha is, chazal, we're not masakin, that tzicha is a hefsek. So after a more, I'll tell you interesting chiddush. If that's true, since I'm being moitzi everybody with the bracha, and I started eating already, so the suda has commenced. You didn't eat yet, so what? You didn't eat yet, but the bracha, the suda has commenced. So once the suda has commenced, sicha during the emsa suda is not a hefsek. So even though the other people have not eaten yet at the Ramah, the Mishnah Berurah would say everybody argues with him. This is like everybody screams at this Ramah, right? but the Ramah says that as long as the first person, the one who said the moitzi, has eaten, the bracha has taken effect, the meal has started. Even though the other people did not eat yet, we'll talk. So you have a scenario where the person, and then he passes to Reuben. Reuben, gives it to Shimon, and he says, here, or something like that. He didn't eat yet. He passes, so he hasn't eaten yet. Even though the people have not eaten, it's not a hefsek. They're yotze at the beginning of the meal with the betzeya eating. Okay.
I guess
that's after the
betzeya.
Guilty of
betzeya.
Guilty of committing logic.
If you started eating. No, he started eating.
So logically speaking, what he's saying makes sense.
Okay.
He's.
Now, so the question really. Is,
why does everybody argue with him?
Okay, so Mr. Brewer will tell us. Let's see Mr. Brewer's. Okay.
I mean, am I wrong? Is it not?
Well, don't pass judgment until you have all the information. Okay. Lamadal. Sifkat Lamadal, back on the previous page. Okay. So the law is you should eat immediately. Preferably, you should not have any pause, even though you're being shtika, you're keeping quiet, you're not saying anything. The chila also have to be shtika. So how long should you not pause? We don't want the pause to be longer than the shir, which is called Teich Kedei Dibur. Teich Kedei Dibur is four words. Shalom Alecha Rabbi Umari. So it takes about, the assumption of Alecha takes about 1.3 seconds. So we would like you to try and minimize your interruption as much as possible. Okay? We will fine. Velo yasiach. Furthermore, so you should not speak either. Now, at what point are you allowed to speak? So you put the challah in your mouth. You're chewing the challah. You swallow the challah. What's the point where you're allowed to start speaking?
I thought after you swallow.
So let's see. You're another one. Mishabur already. Okay, Mishabur has to point it out still. So he says that you should not speak. You should not speak until you've chewed some and swallowed. You don't have to eat the whole piece, but you chewed part of it and you swallow.
What if you take a tiny piece that you don't even need to chew? You just chew, put it in your mouth and swallow it immediately. A tiny little piece of challah.
There's something that's sufficient also.
Huh?
The assumption is that is sufficient as well.
So it seems.
Let me finish. He's in the middle of a sentence, though.
Okay.
Kiva the pasuk shulchan aruch kamom and serve siman reish yod b'toyim levad im loy bola in sarach bracha. Now, why do we say you have to swallow? It says like this because we see a halacha later on that let's say a person wants to taste. They're making some food. They want to taste it, see if it's good, and they're not planning to swallow. So halacha, they don't need to make a bracha. Why? So you see that the bracha is not going on the tasting.
It's going on the swallowing.
Because you see, when you're only tasting, you don't have to make a bracha. So it must be the bracha is going on the swallowing. So obviously over here, we want to say the bracha was effective. You have to have swallowed. Okay. In Kain, Ikra bracha alabliya. The main part of the bracha is on the swallowing. V'chein, imrabim hamasubim. So let's say you have multiple people sitting there. Each one has his own role. They're making their own bracha. So Reuben makes his bracha. He starts eating. And Shimon makes the bracha. Reuben can't answer amen until Reuben has swallowed. So Shimon didn't wait till Reuben swallows to make his bracha. So Reuben Shabur points out. Lo yana amen al brachasa shachaveroi kadem v'yitim hu al brachasoi. He has to make sure that he eats and swallows a bite from his before he can answer amen, etc. Now, Zot Mishra Bura, Mikom Akam, Im Avar Vesach Ba'odei Loyes, if a person did speak, he already put the food in his mouth, he's already chewing it, so he's tasted it, Kadim Shabol HaPrusa, but he has not swallowed yet. Devorim Shem Mitzar Chesud, and the interruption was not something which is necessary for the meal, like the examples we gave later on. So, at first glance, you say, listen, so the bracha was not effective at all yet. You spoke before the bracha took effect, so you have to make a new bracha. So the Mishnah Berurah, Tzarech Iyun im Tzarech Lachzor Lebarach. I'm not sure whether you have to make a new bracha or not. So the Shar Tzion over here points out that the Magen Rama says he's not sure. The Yerava says you do make a new bracha. The Magen Rama says he's not sure. Prima Gadim, the Shekhanach, Rav, all are not sure whether you make a bracha or not. And then he brings from the Mug and Gibur. Take a look at the Sukkot and Lamed. He says, "V'chem b'de Yeshu Mug and Gibur Masha the Sirlu the B'di Evet Ain Sarach Lachzul Lebarach." B'rievad, you will not make a bracha, even though you have not swallowed yet. Why is that? So this case is different than the case of Te'ima. Over there, in Simon Reish Yud, you're putting in your mouth with intention not to swallow it. So you cannot look at that at the beginning of the eating process because you're not planning to swallow it. Over here, even though you have not swallowed yet, but the food you put in your mouth was for the purpose of swallowing. So the achila process has started. Since over here, the chewing that you're doing is for the purpose of eating it, swallowing it. Therefore, over here, in this scenario, the chewing is beginning of the achila process, not like over there in Simon Reish Yud. So over here, the bracha took effect because you've started eating already. So now, Sotah Shara seems like this. So we have the Eli Rabba, you must go back and make another bracha. We have the Mugging Gemara says you do not go back another bracha. We have the Mugging of Rum and the Prima Godim and the Graz, Shulchan Aruch HaRav, who say, I don't know. So you know what? Don't get involved in the situation, please. Therefore, Al Kaponim, just very careful with that, because it's a major machlokes. Let's not get involved in it. Be careful not to speak until you've swallowed. Now, so back into the Mishnah Berurah, in the brackets, he brings the Chayotim like this. Chayotim comes up with some type of a pshara. He makes some type of a hakra. The filoloibola rak hatam shemotzes mipiv min aleisa. What happened was that you started chewing. You have not swallowed any of the food yet, but you did swallow some of the saliva, which now has the flavor of the food. So there you have ingested some element of the food, the flavor, which the saliva, which is infused with the flavor of the food. So that the chayim in that situation, you do not need to go back and make another brach. Now, so the Mishnah Berurah, ain tzarach shiyachol davka shir kazayis kadam shidaber. We do not require him to eat a full kazayis before he speaks. So putting in your mouth is not enough. Chewing it is the beginning of the chila process. Okay, maybe that's enough. Swallowing it is for sure enough. Maybe you need a kazayis before you speak. So once you've eaten any morsel of the food, you may speak. But the Mishnah Berurah says if it's necessary, but if it's not necessary to speak, it would be preferable to actually eat a kazayis before you speak. Okay.
I have a question.
Yes, please.
So earlier, Mishnah gives a scenario where the host is going to be Boseya, but everybody has a chal or roll in front of him. So would it be considered a chutzpah for somebody who's sitting there and he can't wait for the host to be Boseya? Because if he just makes mostly, would that be considered improper?
So what we had before in Sinan Kuf Samach, Kuf Samach Hey and Sid Beis, that we said the Gadol should wash first and eat first. And they said the Rosh was not right to do at the end, but the Mishnah pointed out, but if each one has their own role, then the Gadol should go first. So if your question would be considered improper, it would be considered improper. If the Gadol Wavarin is dilly dallying, then the Pashas, other people don't have to wait. But you know, but if but the but meeker the cover they should be giving it to, yeah. Okay. Now go back for a second into Sivkotzen in the Sharat Siyun in Sivkotzen Chavches. So he says over here that we don't want the person pausing, we don't want the person speaking. So the Sharat Siyun in Chavches adds another thing. McCain Gam. You should not be walking until you swallow either. We said before that walking is considered interruption between your bracha and your achila. The only case where alicha is not a hefsik is it's necessary for the eating. For example, if you have no choice, so you have to move. So let's say
He washes his hands and he realizes that he's standing there, something was not clean, or child dirtied himself in a way which would create a problem for bracha. So he wants to walk away to be able to make the bracha, finish the bracha, whatever the situation might be in that situation. So that situation, but yeah, but the halicha is not a hafsek, but chatchila, you shouldn't be walking. So a person, let's say, standing, says a bracha, it's relevant only by a moitzi, it's relevant by any bracha the person makes. The person goes to Kiddush, I mean, we would advocate that preferably in halacha people should not eat walking around anyway. Chazal discouraged that. But he makes a bracha on a piece of cake and he starts walking before he swallows. That would be improper, according to Mishnah Berurah. That's a hafsek between your bracha and your achila. They're moving. Okay, now, if the person did speak, he has to go back and make a new bracha. This is even one word. See, one word is a problem. What one thing we should always discuss is what about the word new?
Because that's what people say when they're waiting for people to get done so they can actually make the bracha. New?
Is it a word?
Right. So, see, if it's a word, it's a hafsek, right? So we should argue that it's used nowadays, right? The pshat is we've created a legal loophole, and we're using a non-word as a code word for a word, and therefore it's called a non-word. Or the pshat, now it's a word.
But it is a word. Certainly in Yiddish, no?
I'm not familiar with the dictionaries in Yiddish whether the word new is there. My guess is it's probably not there. So
you're saying the word new is not really a word?
I don't think it's a word. The question could be it's still considered a hefsek. Okay.
So is it considered a hefsek? So,
that reminds me, singing.
You should not be singing that either.
I mean, nigga.
Yeah, even that, nigga also really should not be. It should be b'shtika, really.
Why not?
Between that Tosa Diamond and waiting for that Moitzi, no problem.
That's what I mean.
That's like we had before, that's, you know, Mikra could be allowed to even speak then, Mikra didn't, right? So, but once the person said a Moitzi, and they're waiting to eat, they shouldn't be, you know, they should be preferable not to be singing then.
Right, so are you allowed to sing? Should you be singing during between the washing and the Hamotzi?
He means just a nigga.
Yes, just I mean,
I think so. I mean, again,
should you?
I say you should. I don't say, you know, depends if you're a chassidus, you should. If you're a, you shouldn't. But I'm saying, the issue with there was, we don't want you getting involved in something which will cause you to be misyad das. So if you're singing a simple niggin, you know, fine. You know, if you're singing the mudras or composition, you know, 48 different stanzas, you know, probably you should not be doing that. You know, I mean. Most modern Jewish music is simple enough that it's not considered. You don't have to be Masech Das to do that. Some of the more, you know, the older class, more classical pieces would be more of an ish. Okay, Lamazai Minyan the Devorah. But if the interruption was something which has had to do with the meal, so again, it's not a chachilah like the remote points. But yeah, but it would not be a hefsek. Feel a hefsek, but the Devorah Mishenu the Tzar Prusas Amoitzi Rach Minyan Yoni Tzarchi Asuda. It's not for the Amoitzi part, but it's for the meal. But yeah, but it's not a problem. It's all part of the meal process. You know, please bring the kugel now. It doesn't know what the moitzi, right? But you want the kugel, right? So, but yeah, but that would not be considered a hepsik. Shabir chalapas, and before he ate, he said, bring the salt. But even though our bread is nakia, so it doesn't require salt. And it has flavoring, so it doesn't require salt. You don't have to wait. You don't have to add salt. But he wants to add salt. Raise him in Yoni Yisuda, then it's part of the meal. Now, Mishabur points out, Bishabur, I understand, is important to point out, give a mitzvah. You make sure that so and so gets some food. But the guy's Ben Osher, even the prison's an Osher. And the you don't have the mitzvah stalker. So you say, well, why are you interrupting now? Right? You know, So still, it's considered tzarchei asuda and it's mutter. I tell you, there's a fascinating piece. There's a sefer called Sefer Hachayim. Sefer Hachayim was written by the
there's a few Sefer Chaim. There's one Sefer Chaim written by Rav Shlomo Pluger, but there's a Sefer Chaim written by the Maral's brother. His name was Chaim, and in the Sefer Chaim, he says that the mitzvah Knosos Arachim, the Chabetz Chaim in his Sefer Avos Chesed, he has a section on Knosos Arachim. So he points out over there, the mitzvah of Knosos Arachim does not apply to inviting neighbors. Knosos Arachim means that you have a person who has a real need, either a person who's a traveler, doesn't know where to eat, or a person who's local, but they're having renovations on their house, or something happened to them, they had a pipe which burst, and they can't eat at home. An individual doesn't have where to eat, right? So then you have a Knosos Arachim. But I like inviting my neighbors, we have a nice meal together. That's not a Knosos Arachim. That's important because there are certain halacha kulas which are actually lenient for the purpose of Knosos Arachim. There are actually certain cases in halacha we're going to be lenient. Example that they used to make the food fresh because they didn't have storage, so you bring an oreich in and you say, oh, we need some meat, and they would go and shecht. So you have to shecht it, you have to flay it, you have to salt it. The poor guy's, So how long is a shir of melicha? We're knowing the shir of melicha is an hour. But the Sarach Archim were making for a half an hour. Okay? The Zakta Chavetz Chaim and Avos Chesed, that doesn't apply to your neighbors. It applies to the person who's coming and traveling. That's a mitzvah. Then we're making the Sarach Archim. You can do Malicha for just a half an hour. You have to do a full hour for Malicha.
When was the last time anybody in this community did Malicha? It's all done in the store now.
I understand. I'm just saying the point is, you see that there's halachic nafkaminas.
Yeah. Yeah.
Come to Sefer Archim and says that's wrong. Because the bonding between the neighbors, which creates a bonding between, it's a brotherly type of bonding between individuals and the Klal Yisrael, is a mitzvah as well, and has a din of Knosos Arachim. That's what he writes. So an usher also, I want to make sure my guest, who's an usher, has what to eat. That's also a form of a mitzvah.
So basically,
the truth is, had to raise that even without the mitzvah part. I just want to point out, don't think there isn't the element of mitzvah for usher. Another example, by the way, of the Chofetz Chaim discusses the issue of waiting. By the meal, he talked about the halach of the first night of Sukkot. So, in case where it's raining, we say, why don't you wait a little bit and see if it'll stop raining? This way you'll be able to eat in the Sukkot. He says, but if you have guests, especially if you have guests which are aniyim, you should not wait because you have a mitzvah to feed them, the mitzvah stuck to feed them, and they're here right now. So, possibly, I mean, this is the raisa to wait. Because the halach is if you have an oni who has a need and you have what to give them, in case the more someone giving them money, and you don't give them, you're over this or bal ta'acher. So he says, if I have an oni who needs food, and I have food to give them, and I'm waiting, I'm over bal ta'acher. So you should not wait for the sukkah. Make sure you feed the oni right away.
That's what you have to eat, doesn't it?
But, the oni would not feel comfortable, so you would eat as well.
So it pays to have poor guests.
In case it's raining sukkah, the first night of sukkah. Yeah. If you'll omri yishin lo prisa moitzi. Here's the piece of bread for him. No, go give him his own loaf. Why? You're eating your loaf. He can give him his loaf later on. No, the point is, it's part of the meal, and therefore it's not a problem. That's the one Mr. Burr will stop. Your animal doesn't eat with your meal, but the point is, you can't eat until you feed your animal. Now, it sounds like over here you can't even the lesson over here is you can't be toyim. You can't even take a bite. You can't eat anything at all. Because among the rum, b'shem sefer chasidim, the lishta is adam kadam lebehema. But feeding the animal goes first, but drinking human being people go first. What's my right? Could exceed berivka shamra lo eved shesei. She first gave Eliezer to drink, and then she gave the animals to drink. And then she gave the camels to drink. Mm. She says, "What do you see? You see that the order is the person goes first." Now it's interesting that that's the rye that he brings. There actually is a shita by Archim. The persons go first. What's the rye? Because Rivka gave to Eliezer before him, which means that they're learning that. But shti is not different, so how could you give him four? Answer, because he's an oreach. So there's two ways to understand that the fact that she was makdim Eliezer to the camels, either because he was an oreach, and there's no difference between drinking or eating, or because it was drinking, and drinking and eating are different. Okay.